It's time to take command with former NFL tight end Logan Paulson and former Commanders beat reporter Craig Hoffman.
The Take Command Podcast. What's up? What's happening? Logan Paulson, Craig Hoffman, and Logan, here on a Wednesday, we're giving people even more than a take five. We're giving a full defensive film breakdown.
Yeah, which is always exciting to do, especially after a pretty solid defensive performance. So I'm excited to talk this through a little bit, and we alluded to it a little bit in the breakdown, in the offensive breakdown that we did, kind of how this defense did a good job, but Cleveland was just kind of poor offensively. So it'll be nice to kind of peel back that onion a little bit and get into it.
Yeah, for sure. One thing that we talked about in the offense is I feel like Cliff at some point in the game got a really good feel for what Jim Schwartz wanted to do. And obviously he and Jaden are on the same page. They go out and they do a great job. That's a lot harder to do against Jim Schwartz than it is against this Cleveland offense, because boy, is this a bad offense. But you have, like, you can only take the test that you are given. And Joe Witt Jr. was all over what this offense wanted to do, took advantage of it. They were able to generate a ton of pressure, 7 sacks on the day. Obviously, a ton more, like, you had some batted balls. You got a bunch of tackles for loss. Like, there is just so much good stuff for what this defense did. And I think the thing that I take away from it on the biggest picture is, like, this is what this defense can do if they play fast and play confidently. And it's pretty darn good, Logan, when you are fast and confident and you have some of the playmakers a la Frankie Louvu playing at the level they did on Sunday.
Yeah, I'm glad you said confident, because I do feel like they were able to take some of the energy and the passion that they had in the Arizona game and carry that to here, because I think you see guys kind of starting to believe defensively in a way that they didn't earlier in the season. And I know that's like this nebulous, it's not like data driven, but guys are just, they're more bought in. Like, I watch Benjamin St. Juice and I watch how he's playing with the right technique. I watch how he's running with stuff. I watch Sandra Still, the way that he's able to rally up in cover two and make the tackle, the depth they're getting in their cover twos versus kind of third and long situations where they're taking away the corners. Like, Benjamin St. Juice has that. It's, you know, it's a PBU pick kind of where he catches the ball out of bounds. Like, that's cover two. You know, like, he should be, he's got the flat there. And so for him to get enough depth to kind of play both and make sure they can rally to the underneath stuff, I thought was really cool. And it's also showing a coverage unit that's starting to trust the rush a little bit more coming off that Arizona game. So it's a really cool kind of symbiotic relationship that's developing between the two, which is awesome. And I think you look at Quan Martin and the energy that he's playing with and the physicality that he's playing with. Jeremy Chin, I thought, did a much better job. The whole front, quite frankly, did a much better job fitting runs, fitting draws, fitting duos. Now, for whatever reason, it's somewhat inexplicable to me, Cleveland didn't run any like pin pull or trap, which has been giving this team a really hard time this entire year. But like you said, like, with the runs that they were presented, they did an excellent job. You know, we're not getting Frankie Louvu on first down kind of running this big looping arc like he did versus the Giants and putting Jeremy Chin in an impossible situation where he's got to take a tackle. You know, like, Frankie Louvu's chin in the guard, chin's in the A gap. It's a 0 yard gain or a 1 yard gain. And I think that's been really cool to see guys just tightening up their responsibilities, understanding down and distance. And you mentioned the pressure and the way that Joe Witt Jr. was able to dial it up, specifically with the A-gap stuff, and just getting Frankie Louvu on a running back or getting Frankie Louvu on a center on a stunt is just a nightmare. It's a great matchup for this team and a great matchup for this defense. So it's awesome that they were able to see that. They were able to get this team in a lot more third and longs, and we were able to see those packages come to life a little bit. However, all that being said, that's all good stuff. Cleveland would run the ball on first down, they'd be second and 10, and then it was pass. And so if I'm Joe Witt Jr. and I'm like, well, what are we going to do defensively? I'm like, let's do what we're excellent at, which is play kind of a softer coverage structure and bring pressure, which is what they did versus Tampa Bay in third and long situations. And Deshaun Watson and that offense were honestly incapable of maintaining any level of functional offense. That does not detract anything from what I said about the defense, but it's hard for me to overstate how, after rewatching it, how bad Cleveland was offensively, like, bad.
Yeah. We'll get back to just praising the Commanders in a moment, but I want people to understand, like, what we mean when we say bad offense. One is the predictability, right? The rhythm of just like run, pass. And it's the same runs. It's not the runs that the Washington Commanders struggle with. And so you, like, hey, let's run duo. And, like, credit to Allen and Payne, because earlier in the year, like, those dudes were not handling double teams as well with, I think, some of the new techniques and some of the ways they wanted to play it. And they are just absolutely crushing it. And you see the patience of, like, John There's, I had a note, where is this? This was 3:05 left in the second quarter, where it wasn't a double team, but John Allen on a, just like a halfback dive, kind of straightforward run play. I don't remember what it was. Maybe it was inside zone, but they just, he just stands up the guard, waits for the running back to make his decision and just chucks him to the side. And it was like a violent block shed. And you're like, that's John Allen. Yeah. Love that. And so like those dudes did a better job, but also the pass concepts themselves, like there's not a lot of easy stuff. There's not a lot of crossers. They got him on a couple, but like a lot of vertical stuff down the field that just requires Deshaun Watson to sit in the pocket and then make throws that he's not very good at. And so there's not easy options in the pass game. There's not quick stuff, in part because Watson's not very good at throwing it. We talked about that on the preview. He's got this big, long windup, and the like putting the defense in conflict is not something that this offense does by design. They just run, and it's pretty easy to cover when all you have to do is run with guys. And yes, they're great athletes, and Jerry Jeudy's a great athlete, and Amari Cooper is very technically great route runner, but like you don't let them use those skills. They just kind of run around a little bit.
Yeah.
It almost looks very Sandlot-y, and the quarterback's not that good. The offensive line is banged up and not good. And so it's just a much easier test that Washington passed with absolutely flying colors. I couldn't get much better of a grade. But when we say like Cleveland's offense is bad, it's not just that like Watson misses throws and throws balls into the dirt and stuff like that. It's they're easily manipulated up front. And some of the pressures, it's like, well, that was easy to get a free runner. That shouldn't be that easy. They don't have a lot of protection. You and I were texting back with some clips last night. It's like, oh, we can do that and get a full line slide left and then have Dorrance Armstrong scotch free off the edge. That's a better protection plan. That's not happening. And then these routes are so easy to cover that it's a lot easier to be sticky in coverage. And boy, were they. But that's what we mean when we say like the Cleveland offense is horrendously bad.
Yeah. And it's, you know, you mentioned the protection things. Like there was a couple times where it's, I don't know if they're not re-miking protections, but basically you would show like, you know, there's three rushers over here. He would mic to this side. They would slide that way and then have the man side to the right. Joe Wood Jr. would drop guys out to that side to the left. Like this is what people used to do to us last year with Eric Bieniemy as the offensive coordinator. When you're in five-man protections a lot and I can dictate slides, I can really manipulate the man side of your protection. So basically what you do is you just bring two, you bring three to the man side and you'll have a free runner. And that happened three times in the game. Yeah. Like where there's,
there's like, a play in the first quarter where it's a simulated pressure and Bobby Wagner comes on a blitz from the man side of the protection. And it's a four man pressure against a five man pro and Dorrance Armstrong is scotch free off the edge. It's a 4-5 and they let the defensive end run free.
And by rule on the man side, like that's the rule, you know, like that's how you rule that up. But the problem with that kind of stuff is if you're going to do that a lot, you better be really good at being like, we're not doing that. The slide's going to the right. Like you better be good at identifying protections. And so that's where they didn't have a good protection plan, right? They're in drop back pass way too much. Like everyone talking about the O-line struggling. That O-line was one of the best offensive lines in football last year, even though they were banged up. And obviously Bill Callahan's not there anymore. And all he does to insulate the offensive line from a coaching standpoint, but it's the same people. They are just leveraged in a way that I think Washington Commanders fans are very familiar with. When you throw the ball more than any other team in the NFL, this is the result with the offensive line. And that's what we got. And it's not because they're not talented. It's because I'll tell you, like having done this, the hardest thing to do in the NFL on the offensive side of the football is pass protect. And it's especially hard when the defense knows that it's a passing down because there's no inhibition. I can rush. There's no use of cadence. There's no use of motion. There's no use of anything. And I had to stop watching midway through the third quarter because I'm like, I cannot watch any more of this. For how good the Washington Commanders defense is playing and how excellent they're doing, this is maybe the best indictment of this Cleveland offense. They took Jaden Daniels out in an NFL football game with 12 minutes left in the game. I have never heard of that. Dan Quinn believed with every ounce of his being that that game was locked up into the fourth quarter with the entire fourth quarter left. Because of how poorly the Cleveland offense was playing and because of how well the Commanders defense was playing. So I can't even think of a time that's ever happened, Craig, ever.
No, I've seen some guy there. I feel like there was a couple games against Washington at some points when they had just tremendously bad offenses that quarterbacks got pulled. I can never remember one specifically that early. The only other time I can remember a quarterback getting pulled that early was, I think it was the 2015 season, week 17 against Dallas, because they had locked up the division and right. Kirk had a couple of records to set in the first half and he set them. And then they pulled him at halftime or whatever it was and let Colt play the second half. Like, in an actual competitive game where it's in the middle of a season, nevertheless, in October, like, no, that doesn't happen. And like, look around the NFL on Sunday. There's some teams that scored like 24 points in the fourth quarter on Sunday.
Right.
That wouldn't happen. There was zero fear that was going to happen from Dan Quinn and thus getting Jaden out.
Rightfully so, though.
B-Rob. And, you know, it wasn't just Jaden. It was like Nick Allegretti got pulled because he's been battling an ankle thing. So like, also kudos to Dan for not being a silly football coach. It's like, we got to play all 60 minutes. It's like, no, like, we're good here. We won. Mission accomplished. Yeah. Like, let's get our banged up dudes out of here and finish out this game.
Yeah. And so, let's give the defense their flowers. They did a great job matching concept. Yeah. They were nice and tight in coverage. When you go back and watch the All-22, there are open runners. There are free runners, but the pressure's there. They're able to get pressure. Dorrance Armstrong did a great job on DeJuan Jones. I thought Duron and John were awesome. Jerzon has a
big
pressure.
Fill.
Yeah, when they're backed up. And I think Frankie Louvu and Bobby Wagner are way better at blitzing together than I ever thought they would be. And the feel of Bobby Wagner, there's a play where there's a little bit of pressure. Bobby's supposed to match the back. It's the interception. It's the fumble recovery, however that was finally designated.
Yeah, fumble recovery by Louvu. But the ball pops up in the air and Frankie snatches it out the air.
And so the back comes and picks up the blitzer, right? I think he picks up Frankie and Bobby matches it. There's a hole there. Deshaun steps up in the hole and he's like, well, my guy's blitzing, or my guy's in protection. Let me just take this pressure, and goes and makes a sack, and Frankie gets the football. And the instinct there was a draw that they ran where it was a really nice feel of kind of riding the wave of the offense's blocks and kind of being right in the spot he's supposed to be. He just does that all the time. Like Santana had this really funny analogy where he's like the butler from Mr. Deeds. That's an old reference, but he just kind of pops up like whenever you need him to be there. And that's how he plays the game. And you see all the instincts, you see all the experience, you see the tenacity of Frankie Louvu on a down and down basis. Like, he just loves playing football. It's excellent watching him. Percy Butler, I mentioned Quan already, the physicality in the secondary. Like, there was a couple times where, you know, they try to throw a quick seam and Quan is running from what feels like 15 yards away, and you see the closing speed to get to the football. And lots of really, really positive plays. Benjamin St. Juice, I thought, did a great job with a PBU, playing his coverage responsibilities. But also, I think if that offense is tweaked a little bit, it just becomes more challenging. But that does not detract from the fact that I cannot think of one person where I was like, man, that's not a really good play. Everyone played well. They played hard. They played with emotion. And again, this, while it might not be against the best offense of all time, it gives you confidence going into the rest of the season. And confidence for an NFL team is so, so valuable.
Yeah, for sure. There's a couple of plays where Quan, I'm like, oh, dang, that's a first down. And you know, Quan just comes flying down, makes a tackle. And then you get to the next play. And because you're watching on the All-22, and so you don't have like the yellow line on the field. And you're like, oh, it's 2nd and 7?
Yeah.
That was only a gain of 3? How did Quan get down there that fast? Right. Like that, when we talk about the speed and physicality, Quan Martin, it's stuff like that, that is huge. The other thing I'll say real quick, just to wrap up, one thing that I wanted to touch on / note is the pressures are so much tighter and the games they're playing up front. And that's not only the you know, defensive tackles and defensive ends and, you know, John and Duron working together and John and Duron and the edges working together. And you're starting to see some of these loops and stuff be way tighter and thus getting home. Dude, the timing between Wagner and Louvu is crazy right now, how well they're playing. And it felt like in the first couple of weeks, like maybe Frankie would blitz and Bobby would be the second guy in. And it was this big, long loop, and he's not getting close to the quarterback. Now it's like Frankie is going to go absolutely destroy whoever's in front of him, and Wagner is right. Like, it's a delay, so the timing, they're not running into each other because you need to have that slight offset. And Wagner is right on his hip. So by the time the two blockers, one is getting destroyed by Frankie Louvu, and the other is trying to sort out who he's got, as those two guys cross and cause havoc in the protection, and Bobby's already, you know, at the quarterback. Like that, the timing of those pressures has gotten so, so good. And to your point, I think you said it really well. Like these two dudes are blitzing together better than you could imagine, because guys aren't supposed to be able to be this harmonious when they've only played 4 or 5 games together.
Yeah. Yeah. And I can't wait to see it continue to grow and evolve and see them get into more third downs and execute at a high level. So, again, this was a fun game to watch offensively and defensively. And again, I'm like kind of disappointed that Cleveland wasn't able to do more, because I wanted to see this version of this defense have someone to like beat up on a little bit. But it was kind of like Cleveland just laid down on the floor and was like, we're okay. And you're like, everyone's ready to go. Like, let's make this thing happen. And right. they weren't there for it.
May I present to you the Baltimore Ravens. So they are coming next. Real quick, we did want to make sure that before we got out of here, we shout out the special teams.
Oh.
Because the energy that they brought, some of the hits, Jeremy McNichols makes one that I think a lot of people have seen by now, but you also want to talk about Nick Ballore.
Yeah.
Who had a rough start to his Commander's career with those penalties against the Giants, but there is a reason that they brought that dude in and why Larry Isaiah wanted him from Seattle.
Yeah, and you mentioned McNichols, great job. You know, Tyler Owens is a guy that's got a lot of shout on special teams, but you know, Colson Yankoff, another one. But Nick Ballore, every time I watch a kickoff, even when I'm watching the All 22, he's getting up out of the pile. So even if someone else is like making the tackle, like he's in on the tackle. And I've never seen, probably since like Lorenzo Alexander, a guy who's just so prolific in that department of finding the football, being physical, defeating blocks, and getting in on the tackle. Like, I think he probably had three or four special teams tackles in that game, which is kind of mind blowing. Like, if you've ever played special teams, it is impossibly hard sometimes to get tackles. So to have a guy like Jeremy Reeves and Nick Ballore and Tyler Owens who do it consistently, like down in and down out, is impressive. And he really sets the tone, because it's not like he's getting in there and he's like these soft, you can hear it's like crack. It's like these pops. And so you said this in the post-game show, the energy that the special teams is bringing, it definitely matriculates and you feel it on the defensive side of the football, and they're kind of all feeding off each other. And we talked about how special teams are that play with that level of energy and passion. We referenced the 2012 Washington Redskins. That energy is just, it feels like that's what this team is starting to develop. And if they can maintain that, it doesn't matter how efficient or inefficient Jaden Daniels is. It doesn't matter how, you know, effective they are in terms of sack rate. The energy will carry them in a lot of ways. And that's what Dan always talks about is when the energy's right and the culture's right, you'll see it and you'll feel it. And I never would have anticipated it would have happened this quickly, but I think you see it with the special teams, with the defense, with guys finishing. You mentioned Ozzy recovering that fumble down the field. That is the sign of something special. Now they got to string it all together and make it happen for the length of the season. But that's why this game and these last couple games have been so exciting, because all of these things seem to be falling in place for this team.
Yep. And we'll dive into the Baltimore tape and preview that one, because it is one of the biggest games. I'm trying to think of when the last game, I mean, I guess sometime in the 2020 season as they were fighting for the division, but even then, like, they won the division sub 500, not to take away from, you know, hey, you still get to hang the banner, but it is just different when, like, hey, Nance and Romo are going to be in town. When was the last time those two dudes, or, you know, Burkhardt and, you know, it's been Olsen the past couple of years, but like, when was the last time you got an A crew that you weren't on Monday Night Football? Like, it has been a while. And so to be the game of the week in the NFL, because of your record, because of merit, it's a different thing that this team hasn't had in a long time, and we're really excited to talk about it. We will have our preview for you on Thursday. Of course, we will do a post game. I will not be in Baltimore, Logan, so we'll have the post game show 7:30, typical road game edition, even though you'll just be driving. You just take a left instead of a right. Baltimore instead of Landover, as you get, you know, you're driving on the Beltway. But we'll have a instant reaction show for you on Sunday, and then dive into the tape next week. Going to be a fun week. We'll see what happens. We'll be talking about it on the radio as well. 4-7 on the Team 980. You can also check out all Logan's work with the Commanders Command Center and all the other stuff he's doing with them. We appreciate you listening. Subscribe if you made it this far, because, well, you like the show, clearly. And if you haven't yet, now's a good time, because the show is over, and we'll see you next time on Taking It.